You're listening to the State of Women Radio Network, the first and only global radio network focused exclusively on women and girls, with your host, Michelle Jaffe.
Welcome to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are so glad to welcome our guest on the show today, Amy Shera, whose work focuses on the acceleration of female-owned businesses. So again, we are so glad to have her as part of our program today. First of all, Amy, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Excellent, and welcome to the show. Now, just to get the conversation started, I'd like to know more about your background. You know, you can talk to entrepreneurs and they say that, you know, they didn't see a career in entrepreneurship coming, or you talk to some and they say that they wanted to be an entrepreneur from the day that they were born. So I'd like to know from you, did you always see yourself in the entrepreneurship field?
I did not. You know, I think growing up with a father who is a business owner, I certainly had my fair share of, you know, experience, you know, growing up in a family that, that had our own business. But I don't think that I necessarily saw myself as an entrepreneur. I think looking back on it now, I've always had those characteristics of being comfortable with taking risks and being comfortable being uncomfortable, you know, really pursuing what made me happy, what made me feel like giving back to the world in some sense, and really just pursuing, you know, what my passion was with what my strengths were. So although I didn't see myself as an entrepreneur, I really can't imagine doing anything else but owning our own business.
Great. Now, just saying that you had the attributes of an entrepreneur, you know, what made you finally take that step to realize that you wanted to own your own business? How did you catch this, the saying goes, the entrepreneurial bug? How did you come into that?
So for me, I think the entrepreneurial bug was caught at about 45,000 in the air. My background, after I graduated college, I went to UNLV in Los Angeles, and I hired after graduation an individual living in Miami, and he's one of the most influential businessmen in the world. And you know, my role kept me out of the United States about 250 days a year for about 6 years in a row. And watching this gentleman really interact with some of the other foremost business leaders, both men and women, so frequently, just listening to the way that they spoke about their business and growing their business and the way that they were able to affect change in the world by being business owners, I learned so much that time in my life. And like I mentioned, it was the majority of my life during that period of 6 years was spent overseas. And so introduction to international business, we made it clear that there was so much influence that could be made around the globe through business. And I think although I didn't necessarily realize it at that point, I think that that was really when the spark lit for me in terms of understanding how owning a business can make great change.
Great. Now, it must have been quite the risk to go from a job in aviation to, you know, starting your own business. So, you know, what was that like to be able to take that large of a career jump?
Well, I think that, you know, owning a business, everyone's journey and everyone's, you know, steps are so different, large and small. And the step that I took after I left aviation was not straight into business ownership. I don't think that I quite made the connection yet that that was what I wanted to do with my life. When I went to Miami, I moved to Phoenix and I started working at Center Bird School of Global Management. And my role there was to create and manage 10,000 Women program, which was a partnership between Goldman Sachs and the U.S. Department of State. And so it was definitely a 180 degree shift from what my life was, you know, working in the private aviation industry to working with women entrepreneurs from developing countries, working with women from Afghanistan and Pakistan and you know, all across the globe. And I realized that, you know, the hurdles these women overcame just to not only start a business, but continue to run their business and provide for their family and ensure their children were healthy and educated. It was so inspiring for me. And that was really the first time that I had worked exclusively with women. And the amount of strength that I drew just from being in their presence, I felt renewed. I felt inspired. I felt like the trajectory of my life changed, you know, upon the job change for me. And so, you know, after my time at Centerbird concluded, it really took the persuading of my fiance, Steve Hazy, who's my co-founder for Think Global. He's a serial entrepreneur. He's had business advising firms over the course of his career over the last 22 years or so. And he, you know, you learn so much about what women business owners need from their mentors, from business programs. You learned, you know, the way that women interact together as a group, the way that they lift each other up, the way that they're able to allow others to feel like they can accomplish anything, that they're not alone. We can do it together. It was, he said, you know, there's obviously a need out there for some type of program, some type of network, a whole network of women business owners that are actively trying to grow their business. You know, we should do something about this. So although it didn't have a name at the time, you know, we had dozens and dozens of women that were asking us to help them grow their businesses, whether it was, you know, helping with their marketing or advertising brand or their financials. It's such specific needs that, you know, taking a class with a bunch of, you know, other startups, it wouldn't help them. And so Think Global was really born out of something that we was a gap in support. Women business owners past the startup stage and are actively trying to grow their business.
Excellent. Now, if you're just now tuning into our show, you're listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. We're talking with our guest today, Amy Shera of Think Global Institute. Now, Amy, there are many organizations and there are many programs for women that are in the process of developing their startups at an introductory level. So what makes this institute different? Can you expand on the topic that you were just talking about, how, you know, you help women that seem to be already established in their businesses?
Yeah, absolutely. The, you know, the communities around the world, governments around the world, cities and universities and private organizations, we feel like there's such a strong community for startups, both for men and women. They do an excellent job of helping businesses launch and help them form, you know, their idea to an actual reality. What we found was a gap in support once they passed that stage. Once they start showing revenue and they're starting to hire employees, they're starting to branch out in their market. And what we found, particularly with women, was that the majority of women in this stage are solopreneurs. And it's not because they don't need employees. It's just that they feel more comfortable wearing all hats, wearing, really taking on the role of better person, CEO, COO, and it was inhibiting their growth. And mm-hmm. The reason for that was because business advisors are really expensive. And Steve, obviously, as a career business advisor, said, you know, the reason that he's always worked with corporations and professional athletes was because that's who can pay the bill rate. The average entrepreneur who is trying to grow their business cannot afford the bill rate of a traditional advisor. And so we built Think Global to be a business advisory firm without those high prices.
And excellent. So excellent. And Amy, when we come back from our first break, we're going to talk more about how Think Global helps these businesses to accelerate and generate success. But for right now, I'd like to encourage all of you to connect with us by going to facebook.com/womeninvesting or on Twitter, use the hashtag womeninvest, hashtag girlsinvest, and hashtag weforshe. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the State of Women Radio Network, the first and only global radio network focused exclusively on women and girls.
Welcome back to Women Investing and Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are with our guest today, Amy Shira of Think Global Institute. And before we went to break, we talked more about Amy's background, and we also gave an introduction of the Think Global Institute. So we are going to get right back to this topic in our conversation. Now, Amy, I'd like to know from you, who is getting involved? What types of women are you seeing that are the participants of the Institute, and how do they get involved?
They are super busy. They're wearing so many hats. One of the biggest hurdles for us in all of our cities is actually finding these women, because they are not going to meetups, they're not going to networking events, they're not hanging out at coffee shops. They are busy running their businesses. The way that we connect with women in this stage the best is by word of mouth. And so some of our greatest partners are actually those organizations that work with startups, because it's a natural progression. After these businesses start up and they start to grow, a lot of times they'll reach back out to those organizations who help us start and say, what do I do next? I've hit a wall, I've hit a plateau, I have these huge visions for what my business could be, but I don't know how to get there. And so that's where Think Global comes into play, is that, we want to connect with those women, ride that is business ownership, and say, no one can or should do this alone. And so let's look at this business model that you have that's working, and let's look at where you want to go, and let's make some tweaks to it. How can we make sure that you have the resources, the opportunities, and the experts that are going to surround you and make sure that you don't have to stop to make a decision? How can we be your advisors for the long term to make sure that you take this business where it can go?
Mm-hmm. So what are you looking for in a business before before you start to work with it? Is there certain qualities to a business that you're looking for?
We meet face to face with every single woman that applies to our institute, and the reason for that, because at this stage the entrepreneur herself is much more important than her financials. In our opinion, the financials are only a metric of how the business is being run by her and her team.
Right.
And so we really want to get a feel for her goals, her attitude, she truly understand what it's going to mean to grow this business. It's really tough. You do an investment of time, an investment of money, and certainly emotions to grow a business. And, we always joke, because at the beginning of every institute, inevitably there's going to be tears, and that's okay, because change is really hard. But we always say that, that's where growth starts, is outside of your comfort zone. And so what we look for is really the willingness to be vulnerable, to look at things from a different perspective. We look at, where is the business model now? Is she in a place that we can even help? Can we help her grow her business? We're industry agnostic. So we really have found tremendous success in bringing together women from a variety of industries, because everyone comes to the table with a different network, and they come to the table with different ways of solving problems. And so it really leads to robust discussions when we do have our group workshop days, that someone can say, hey, I've been there before, this is how I dealt with that problem. So it's a mixture of that peer advising and also one-on-one advising with actual business advisors.
That's incredible. And I love the way that you also include an element to this of the entrepreneurs helping each other. You know, one might have a problem that the other one is an expert in. So I think that's a great way to, you know, make this institute sustainable. Now, where are these institutes located?
Currently, we have institutes in Phoenix, Arizona, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Denver, Colorado. And in 2016, we are announcing the launch of Las Vegas, Nevada, and San Diego, California.
Excellent. Now, who is helping these women? Do you have a team of coaches, or is it mostly, you know, an effort between you and your fiance? How does it work?
Dave and I are just a small part. We certainly started this together, but our team has grown, and it's grown rapidly, but also thoughtfully. Everybody that we bring onto our team, right now we have 10. Everyone is truly aligned with our culture. And by that, I mean that we listen, we don't tell. We want to be impeccable with our word. And so when we say we're going to do something, we'll find a way to do it. We have a big vision for Think Global. We want to be in 20 cities in the next 5 years. We look for team members that have a variety of skills and expertise. We have branding experts. We have website experts. We have strategy experts. We try to fill all the gaps because no one can be an expert in everything. And so how do we bring those experts to the table that whenever one of we affectionately call the women in our institute thinkers. When a thinker has a question or a problem, a hurdle, we can quickly bring someone to the table that can help her work through that.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'd like to remind you that you're listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. We are currently talking with our guest today on the show, Amy Shera, about Think Global Institute. Now, Amy, how does the Think Global Institute help these businesses and these female business owners? What types of programs are offered through the Institute?
So our flagship program is the Institute, and we are actually also, we're undergoing a rebrand ourselves, effectively dropping the Institute from our name because the Institute is only one of our programs at this point. So the flagship is our six-month institute, and the way that works is the women selected for the program, which in each city we hold annual institutes, and in each program we select between 10 and 12 women, and for the first month we work with them face-to-face in their business as well as those group workshop days. And a couple fun events in the evening to bring the community to recognize those women. And for the remaining 5 months, it's really implementation of that strategic growth plan that we identify during the first month. And so that's when the doing comes in and the changes start happening. And our team is there to support them every step of the way. We also have Think Global Labs. And the labs are a shorter version of our institutes. And it's also for women that are not necessarily ready to start growing their businesses yet. And so we call the lab really preparing to grow. And so it's for those businesses that are in that stage where they are in the early stages of startup, but know that they want to grow their businesses, but aren't quite sure what that entails. And so those are between 1 and 2 week long programs. And we have all of those in the cities we have our institutes in as well. And the third way that we engage with women is going to be our membership website, which is launching in the next 2 months. And that is going to be for women that live in cities that we are not in currently or will likely not get to. It's also going to be a place for women that have gone through our program to continue connecting, a place for our advisors to share thoughtful, curated, practical content. It's not inspirational. It is actual content that is going to move a business. So really between, you know, those three ways, we hope to be able to be a place that can help either inspire growth in a woman's business or actually take her through those changes to grow as a team.
That's wonderful, Amy. You know, what I love about this initiative is that you are helping women with their businesses, you know, in the startup phase, and you're also helping them develop and accelerate into a more successful business. And I think that, you know, is so special. When we come back from our next break, we're going to talk more about the impacts that the Institute is having on these women's businesses. But for right now, I'd like to encourage all of you to connect with us and let us know what you think about this discussion by going to facebook.com/womeninvesting or on Twitter. Be sure to use the hashtag womeninvest, hashtag girlsinvest, and hashtag weforshe. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the State of Women Radio Network, the first and only global radio network focused exclusively on women and girls, with your host, Michelle Jaffe.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are going to continue our conversation with our guest today, Amy Shera of Think Global Institute, which is a great way for females that own businesses to help develop their ideas for a business and then help accelerate those businesses to success. Now, Amy, as far as the specific programs work, is it true that you actually go to the businesses themselves and work within the business to help them reach success?
We do. We absolutely, we work in the business with them, with their employees, and even sometimes their families, because anyone who owns a business knows that it truly is a family ordeal.
So how does an interactive approach help these women, you know, achieve even more success than maybe they would if this was more of, you know, one of those programs where you're more in the behind the scenes of the business?
What we do is certainly a deep dive with every woman that goes through our institute. We want to understand why she started this business. Where is she wanting to take the business? What are her employees think about the vision, the mission, the values? Really understanding every aspect that is part of a woman's business is going to allow us to take a holistic approach when developing a strategic plan of action to take her where she wants to go. So, you know, really understanding, you know, if you're going to sit and talk at a woman about the theory of marketing or the theory of branding, how does she know how to implement that into her specific business? And is she going to take the time to do it? Probably not. And so what we want to do is not only talk to her specifically about her brand, her website, but then hold her accountable while giving her the tools and the resources and the support to make the changes needed to grow her business. So, you know, what we've found is that, you know, her success is realized when she has someone to help her identify where she is needing to go, and then actually help her implement those changes.
Right. Now, part of the success of accelerating a business is helping them often to, you know, develop their business in a way that they can make more money. But what's so important about this idea is that you need to make sure that these women are financially literate, correct?
Absolutely.
So how does your organization work to make sure that that is possible for them?
So the thing that we focus on the most is that a women's program traditionally, you know, up until this point, history proves true that they are doing their accounting, they're doing their bookkeeping. It's few and far between that we find women that come through our program that say, yes, I have all of the financial processes down. I'm pulling reports every week, every day, every month, whatever it is, really helping her understand that she does need to have an understanding of her books, that she needs to be hiring a bookkeeper, she needs to be hiring a CPA. There's certain things that we shouldn't be doing on our own unless we are professionally trained to be a bookkeeper. we should absolutely understand how to read our reports. That's the number one thing that we focus on is understanding what reports need to be pulled daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, and then going through it and learn how to read them and make sound business decisions based upon what those reports are saying. So that's certainly part of our program. We have a great network of bookkeepers and CPAs that work with many of our women. And so it's a way for them to educate business owners on where does the business owner stop and where does the bookkeeper start in terms of, you know, what are her duties. And so I think that that's always a huge weight lifted off of their shoulders when we say, you know, this is something that you need to be doing as a, you know, you don't need to be a business owner and an accountant and a bookkeeper. And so it's really giving them permission to say, you know, you're not a bad business owner if you aren't a professional accountant as well.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's so important to make that distinguishing idea for these business owners that they can focus more of their attention on what they need to focus on as their role. I'd like to also remind that you are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. We are currently talking with our guest today on the show, Amy Shera of Think Global Institute. Now, Amy, part of the name of this institute, Think Global. So why do you encourage these businesses to have a global mindset? How will that contribute to their success?
So to us, thinking global means thinking out of your network. It means thinking out of your city and out of your comfort zone. If you are doing business in Milwaukee, for example, we want you to think about doing business in Chicago, in Denver, in Phoenix, looking at business from a different perspective. You know, that we learned after working in so many cities that the culture of business in each one of the cities is so different. And, you know, there's not one right or wrong way, but we've learned that so much growth happens when you look at your business from a different perspective. And really to us is thinking globally means thinking outside of your comfort zone. Certainly you want to do global business. We can get you there as well. But, you know, doing business on a global level is not right for everybody. But we do want you to look outside of what you're doing now. Think bigger.
That's interesting. That thinking globally doesn't necessarily mean think across seas. It might just mean think, you know, across the country and trying to expand yourself in that way. So I think that's very interesting. Now, go ahead.
I was just going to say, when you say global, you think big. Automatically, the word global makes you think big. And that's what we want these women to do, is we want you to think big. Don't stop at just the borders of your city. Think bigger.
Wonderful. Now, as far as when these women finish this programming, whether it be through a few months or a few weeks or, you know, however they receive help, how do you ensure that these businesses continue to succeed after they finish your programming? Is there a way that you check up on them?
Absolutely. So, you know, we say it's a 6-month program, but truly the way that we view ourselves and really this relation to our DNA as a company is we call it the Think Global family. And we do that because we don't truly ever lose touch with any woman that goes through our program. And whether that's through them connecting with us personally as staff or co-founders of Think Global, or it's them staying connected as alumni of a Think Global program. We've been so impressed with the way that our cohorts have really organically doing business together. They are supporting each other through different phases of growth. You know, of course, we have a Facebook page or, you know, a private where we're able to share opportunities or opportunities to do business with one another. This is going to be something that's been part of our membership website when that launches, is, you know, a way for our network to continue connecting in a thoughtful way. But really, that's where my role comes in, is that I'm a connector. I'm someone that when a thinker says, I'm hiring, I'm looking for this out of a particular partner, I need to hire an entertainment lawyer. There's so many specific things that our things need. It's really my role to thoughtfully connect these women either with each other or with someone in my network or Another Thinker's network. And so we check in with them a minimum of once per month during the Institute, but really, you know, checking in with them annually after every program has been part of our understanding of how we can make our program better and more effective through that annual check-in.
That's so fantastic. I love the way that you make sure that, you know, the learning process doesn't end when the program ends. You continue to develop that relationship between you and the companies that you work with or between the companies. So I think that's part of the reason why, you know, this institute is so effective. Now, when we come back from our next break, we're going to talk more about the impact that this institute has on businesses, as well as some future plans for Amy within the business as well. But for right now, I'd like to invite you to connect with us by going to facebook.com/womeninvesting or on Twitter, use the hashtag womeninvest, hashtag girlsinvest, or hashtag we4she. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the State of Women Radio Network, the first and only global radio network focused exclusively on women and girls.
And welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are in our conversation with our guest today on the show, Amy Shera of Think Global Institute. Now, before we went to break just now, we talked more about the logistics of the institute and how female-owned businesses are able to get help from the Institute's programs. Now we're going to continue the idea of the impact that this has. And, you know, Amy, you know, part of this is the development of females within their role as a business owner. And I'd like to know from you if you believe that this Institute will help, you know, inspire younger girls to become entrepreneurs one day if, you know, the initiative of the Institute will create almost a domino effect of helping female entrepreneurs and helping to inspire others to become entrepreneurs as well.
One of the favorite parts, I think, of my role is watching the women that are in our Institute bring their children to our community events. And, of course, there's daughters in that equation. And so watching their daughters see their mothers strong leaders and business owners, and watching their eyes light up, watching their mom speak about their business and speak intelligently about their goal for growth can only be an inspiration to them. I have a daughter myself. She's one. And, you know, when we were growing Think Global, I couldn't help, you know, when we found out we were having a girl, I couldn't help but think, I can't imagine a better place for my daughter than to be surrounded by hundreds of strong, capable, intelligent women. I think that it is our duty as entrepreneurs to change the world, change the landscape of what it looks like for girls and future women, whether they are going to be business owners or mothers or corporate women in business. I think that is where our role really takes shape to where we can change the world, is that we have the ability to set precedence now, to change the way that we treat our employees, the way that we allow maternity leave, paternity leave, the way that we allow women to interact as both mothers and staff in our businesses. I think that really the conversation is starting to change, you know, with Netflix's their recent decision to allow unlimited maternity and paternity leave. I think that, you know, the conversation is starting to change. You know, girls are, they're certainly part of this process as they're starting to see companies and corporations really treating women in the workplace differently. But I think as entrepreneurs, we have this special platform that we should use wisely, that when we are mentoring girls or young women, that we make a concerted effort to do things differently, because the way things have been done over the last century are not conducive to growth. They're not conducive to equal rights. And I think that that's a real benefit that we have as business owners, that we really can change the trajectory of how girls view themselves as leaders, as strong women, and as capable women.
Excellent. Now, part of the idea of females in the business world is the notion that a woman should be able to have a balance between work, life, and family. So I'd like to get your opinion on that.
I won't use the term that I use because I'm not sure. I'm sure this is a family show. but balance is both. And the reason I say that is because I can truly understand that now as a mom of a small baby. You know, when she was first born, we were living in Denver and we had no family. And so when we had a meeting with investors and she was 1 week old, she came with us. And of course, she slept the whole time. But really, as a business owner, it's work integration. And, you know, there's a season for everything. And the season for me to have to be, you know, picking and choosing the meetings that I can take, for me to decide that I'm going to electronically disconnect after a certain hour so I can spend time with my daughter and my family. But also a time for her to either go to grandma's house or go to daycare, whatever it is, whatever that option is for you as a mother and a business owner, for me to spend some dedicated time on Think Global. It's really just, it's a juggling act, and it's hard, and it looks different for everybody. Every mom and dad, they do things differently, and that's okay. It has to be whatever works for them as a family. But I don't think that balance is attainable, and I think that balance is, it's a word that makes me feel guilty if I'm not always feeling balanced. Mm-hmm. So for me to say, I'm going to have to integrate this as best as I can, and because I feel like my job is not a job, you know, Think Global is part of my life, it's part of your life, and it's not something that I ever feel guilty about doing. I just have to make choices and say, this is the time for Think Global and this is the time for family.
Right. No, I think that's such an interesting point that you make, that distinguishment between balancing and integration. And, you know, like you said, you do get that kind of picture in your head that if you're not balancing something well, you're going to, you know, if you're juggling too many things, you might drop one and then you might not feel fulfilled. Mm-hmm. But it's all about integrating what you are passionate about and what is part of your life. So I think that's some great advice. Now, talking more about advice, I'd like to know if you could give some advice to young women and girls who are out there listening to the show.
I think that finding great mentors, role models in your life is really important. And I don't think that mentors and role models necessarily have to be older than you either. I think that I certainly have mentors of mine that are younger than me. There's many young women that do things much better than I do. And so I learn a lot from them and ask a lot of questions. And asking questions is a good thing. Really looking for ways that you can learn to supplement your weak areas. Looking for ways that you can learn from other people's mistakes, because I know I've done a lot of things wrong, and if I can save someone trouble from going down that same path, I'm happy to share. But I think really getting involved in not only areas that you're passionate about, but as a business owner, especially when you're starting out, you have to wear so many hats. And so I think really building your confidence in areas that you may feel weak or feel that you don't know about can really help you maybe avoid some pitfalls when you do start a business. So yeah, I think that there's there's a lot of people out there, and so getting out of your comfort zone and asking for help or asking to maybe shadow someone or interview someone can really make a difference, I think, on the road if you do start your own business.
Fabulous. Now, just to, you know, wrap up this conversation, we don't want anybody to forget about what Think Global Institute is. So can you tell us some ways that we can connect with you and, you know, continue to learn about this journey and what Think Global Institute is working on in the future?
Absolutely. Thank you again for the opportunity. You know, the more that we can share what we do, the more we are able to connect with women that are feeling alone as they're growing their business. That's really our mission, is to ensure that people that are trying to grow their business have the resources and opportunities to do so. And so we are on Facebook, we're on Twitter. Twitter handle is Do You Think Global, Do You, the letter U. We are, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we're excited to announce that we are doing our first annual institute in Las Vegas, Nevada, and also San Diego, California in 2016. And so we are currently accepting applications for Denver, Las Vegas, San Diego, on our website, which is thinkglobalinstitute.org. Also, I mentioned earlier in the conversation that we are going through a rebrand ourselves, and so the name of our company is just going to be Think Global, because the Institute is only one of our offerings as we grow as a company. And so the new website is going to be wearethinkglobal.com, and so we're going to be launching that in the next 2 months. So we encourage anyone to reach out to us. You know, ask any questions that you might have, even if it's not through our institute or a lab that we can support you. We have so many partners that are in the small business space, between government and private organizations. How can we help connect you to the right people to solve your problem?
Terrific. Amy, it's been such a pleasure to have you on our show today. Thank you so much for having this conversation with us.
This is great. Thank you.
Great. Now, I want to invite all of you out there to connect with us by going to facebook.com/womeninvesting, or on Twitter, you can use the hashtags womeninvest, #girlsinvest, and #weforshe to leave your comments and let us know what you thought about our discussion today. I'd also like to thank you all for listening. You've been listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. This show is produced by the State of Women Radio Network, the first radio network for women and girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls with Michelle Jaffe. Download our shows on iTunes or listen on demand right here on thestateofwomen.com, the first and only global radio network focused exclusively on delivering the latest trends in investing, entrepreneurship, and global women's issues by and for women and girls.